Welcome to Identity Church Sunday morning message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
So a couple months ago, Charlie comes up to me and he goes, I'm asking all the elders to preach, and I want you to preach. And I want you to preach on you are a new creation from the other side of the cross. I looked at him like, gee, thanks. And I was like, Because usually if he gives me something like that and gives me a topic, I'm like, oh, that's cool. Now I know what I got to do. And I was like, oh, man. So the title of this message is, am I a new creation? Or I am a new creation? Because I think we all struggle with that. I know I do. 2 weeks ago in his message, Charlie talked about narrow is the gate and Jesus is the door, and that is how wide the gate is. Do you remember him saying that? I think that's actually a quote. I had it in my notes. And then he said, quit being stuck in the gate, run through it onto the other side. And then I wrote in my notes, this is where your message starts. And I put, become a new creation, get out of the gate. So 2 weeks ago, that's all I had for this message. And I was like, Lord. And I had made some other notes, and I was thinking about some things, and I prayed about it. Be honest with you, I wasn't getting a whole lot. But then I got into it, and a couple things happened. You know, the Lord drops things on you. He showed me a scripture in a devotional. He gave me a declaration from a lady on Facebook. He started opening up things. My spirit started talking. My spirit man started hearing and started talking about it. So I wanted to see which prophet prophesied the most about Jesus. Would you say it was Isaiah? I kind of would. He did a lot of prophesying about the coming of the Lord. I mean, a lot of the prophets prophesied about it, but Isaiah seems to have an abundance of this. So I asked him, I said, well, Lord, is there any place in Isaiah where he prophesied about us being a new creation? And I did some searching, and I'm pretty much going to use the Passion Translation today. So it's actually kind of fitting that we don't have words up because we don't have the words for the Passion Translation in our software system anyways. So I got two scriptures from Isaiah that speak to this that I want to share with you. One is Isaiah 7:14, and it says, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will name him God among us. Or in some versions, it would say Emmanuel. So the word Emmanuel means God became one of us. And so at that point, Isaiah was speaking of a new nature that was about to be planted in the soil of humanity. Emmanuel is a term used for the new creation life coming down out of heaven into the man of Jesus. And it began as that relationship, as the man of Jesus. But as you will see, as we kind of walk through this morning, it will soon become a company of men and women, us, the church, the believers. So Emmanuel is the partnership of heaven and earth, God and humanity. So I was a couple other places I looked, and I was like, no, that doesn't fit. No, that doesn't fit. And then I found Isaiah 41:19, and it says, I will plant in the treeless desert cedars and acacia, myrtle, and olive trees, and I will set in the wilderness evergreens together with many elms and cypress. And then in verse 20, it says, everyone will see and know that I, Yahweh, with my mighty hands have done this, that the Holy One of Israel has created it. So you see new creation in that? It's all over, right? So in the Passion Bible, there's notes. And in the notes, it says, there are seven trees speak of a fullness of a new creation life. Compare them to the seven branches of the lampstand and the seven spirits of God. I was like, okay. So there's a hint of it. Now, I thought about the scripture a little further, and the two things that caught my mind was, I think when I first read it, I thought he planted the seven trees all in the same place. But that's not what he did. He planted 1, 2, 3, 4 of them in the desert, and he planted the other three in the wilderness. Now, would you say that those are definitely two different areas? Now, the desert can be the wilderness, let's be honest. But spiritually, those are two different places, right? So that God is allowing for his new creation to come in both of those places. So in other words, he'll meet you where you are. You don't have to be in a special location for that. That's important. So then I'm like, all right, great God, you spoke about this a little bit in the Old Testament. And yesterday I tried to search and find other places, and I didn't really find any place. But there's a story in John that I want to talk about. And it's the story of Nicodemus. And I think what I'm going to do, just because it will get it laid out there in front of us, I'm going to just read it for you first, and then we're going to walk through it, okay? So this is John chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. Nicodemus. Now there was a prominent religious leader among the Jews named Nicodemus, who was part of the sect called the Pharisees and a member of the Jewish ruling council. One night he discreetly came to Jesus and said, Master, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no one performs the miracle signs that you do unless God's power is with him. Jesus answered, Nicodemus, listen to this eternal truth. Before a person can perceive God's kingdom realm, they must first experience a rebirth. Nicodemus said, rebirth? How can a gray-headed man be reborn? It's impossible for a man to go back into the womb a second time and be reborn. And Jesus answered, I speak an eternal truth. Unless you are born of water and spirit wind, you will never enter God's kingdom realm. For the natural realm can only give birth to the things that are natural, but the spiritual realm gives birth to supernatural life. You shouldn't be amazed by my statement. You all must be born from above. For the spirit wind blows as it chooses. You can hear its sound, but you don't know where it is coming, where it came from, or where it's going. So it is within the hearts of those who are spirit born. Then Nicodemus replied, but I don't understand. What do you mean? How does this happen? And then Jesus kind of rebukes him. He says, Jesus answered, Nicodemus, aren't you the respected teacher in Israel? And yet you don't understand this revelation? I speak eternal truths about things I know, things I've seen and experienced, and still you don't accept what I reveal. If you're unable to understand and believe what I've told you about the natural realm, what will you do when I begin to unveil the heavenly realm? No one has risen into the heavenly realm except the Son of Man, who also exists in heaven. So let's kind of walk through that a little bit, because there's a lot in there. And you have to realize this is Jesus talking about this before the crucifixion. So this is not, he's teaching about what's going to happen. Okay? So in 3:3, he talks about a rebirth. And in the Greek, there's a couple ways that could be re-understood. Now Nicodemus understood it to be born again, rebirth. I can't be born again. He understood the word, but he didn't understand the context of the word, the way Jesus was using it. In the Aramaic, it says he was born from origin. born again, like Adam was born, but by direct breath of God. Nicodemus is seeking knowledge here when he's talking to Jesus. He's thinking in the natural. Jesus is offering him life. Now, if you look at that where it says born again in the Greek, it says the word is genero, and it says to begot, voice, to be born, mainly used as a man begetting children, to describe both the act of conception of Jesus and God in the birth in the believers, God's divine nature imparted. So that's the word born that Jesus used. The word again is of a place or time from above. From the beginning, again, anew as before. Nicodemus thought that Jesus meant again, as in like a second time. Because didn't he say that? But that's not what Jesus meant. I think we now get a little glimpse of what Jesus meant. Jesus meant anew. He didn't mean the same way you did it before. So, that understanding was absent from Nicodemus. And Nicodemus proclaims it by telling in verse 4 that he just says what he believes that Jesus, I just heard you say this, which really wasn't what Jesus said. Nicodemus only heard it in the natural. He missed it. In verse 5, Jesus speaks of an eternal truth. Unless you are born of water and spirit wind. Water. So there are a whole group of men that would take that verse to mean baptism. You're only born again if you're born of water and spirit wind. And they actually would have ignored the spirit wind part of it, and they would have said you're only Baptist. That's not what this it's not water here does not mean baptism. And remember, this is before the cross. Water equals the word of God that cleanses all things and gives us life. Now, I found three references to back this up. So those of you, I'm not going to go read them all, but those of you that are students, go look at Ephesians 5, 25 to 26, James 1, 18, and 1 Peter 1, 23 to 25. And it talks all about that issue of the water washing you. That's the background for that. And they all confirm what Jesus says in John 3, 5. So spirit wind, God breathed. Let's look at this picture. How was Adam created? God picked up a pile of dirt, right? Now there's a joke about a scientist and God debating over how creation was done, and the scientist says, I could do that. I've discovered the formula. And he gets to go scoop down and pick up his dirt, and God says, no. Make your own dirt. So just remember, before God made Adam, God made the dirt. So God took that dirt, and what did he do? He blew on it, right? Blew life into it, and it became a man. It became Adam. So Jesus is the second Adam, right? The final Adam, correct? All right, so also we saw God's spirit hovering over the water during creation. So there is, again, that combination of water and spirit together. You also need to realize that in the Hebrew, the word for spirit is the same word for breath, ruach. So I want to jump ahead here. I want to go to John chapter 20, verse 21 through 23. And there it says, 21. All right. Jesus repeated this greeting, peace to you. And he told them, just as the Father has sent me, I'm now sending you. Now, just so you know, we're after the resurrection here. Okay? We are now on the other side of the cross. And that is key. Then taking a deep breath, he blew on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. I send you to preach the forgiveness of sins, and people's sins will be forgiven. Then taking a deep breath, he blew on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So that word breathed, that's another unique word. I don't know about you, but when somebody tells me a word is only used once, it catches the student in me's eye. The Greek word used here does not appear elsewhere in the New Testament. However, it is the same word found in the Septuagint, which is the Latin version of the Old Testament, okay? For God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, Genesis 2:7. The beginning of new creation life came from the breath of Jesus, not the mighty winds of Acts 2. They brought power. Okay? The breath of Jesus breathed into his disciples in this verse was for life. So now let's jump back to chapter 3 here a minute. Verse 6, Jesus compares the natural realm to the spiritual realm and reveals the impact of the spiritual realm has on the kingdom of God. And he's really setting the table for what's to come, because even in Matthew, he says, you cannot enter the kingdom without what? Knowledge and belief in me, right? It's Rodney's version of that scripture. John 3, 7 and 8, Jesus reveals that what he meant. He comes right out and says, no, Nicodemus, I meant born from above. And he talks about the role of the Spirit in all this. Verse 3:9, Nicodemus still doesn't get it. Verses 10 through 12, Jesus rebukes Nicodemus. Called him out. Said, you're like the best teacher we got. And you don't get this. How are you going to get the deep stuff I want to unveil? This is like milk. So then in John 3:13, Jesus, you know, it's funny because like he released a great truth. He saw that he didn't get it. He kind of baps him a little bit, upside the head. But he doesn't dwell on it. So he goes right now, he goes to something totally different. In verse 13, what does he say? He says, let's see if I can read sideways. Verse 13, he says, no, one has risen into the heavenly realm except the Son of Man, who also exists in heaven. Whoa, where'd that come from? What's that got to do with the other stuff? There's a nugget there. And so he's laying out that we have the ability as new creation to be in both places just like he was right then. Now, before that time, no, we didn't have that ability. So, where was I? Brad'd be proud of me. My notes can't fall on the floor, but I have to keep flipping the pages. So, this is what it means to be in Christ. We can be in both realms, both places, at the same time. Now, how do we do that? Do we split ourselves in half? No. What do we actually do? We bring heaven to earth. We don't really, I mean, I don't know, maybe we do go both places and sit in a chair and you're up there. I know. Anybody taken the elevator ride before in worship? And Shazam, you're just in the throne room? And you're still here? That's what we're talking about, okay? That's what we're talking about. Good, I'm seeing some heads nodding. I'm seeing some people going, what are you talking about? If you experience that, you will know what I'm talking about. So, a couple scriptures to back that up for the note takers. Ephesians 2:6, Colossians 3:1-5. In the realm of the Spirit, heaven and earth are one. Jesus is telling Nicodemus that only those who are seated in the heavenly realm will understand the spiritual truths. So, if you don't get it, check your seat. Where are you seated? I need to hear that for myself. So 2 Corinthians 5:7. So now we're going to hear what Paul has to say about this. And it's going to get a little more depth to the same message. Therefore, if any man is, this first part I'm going to read is from the New American NASB version. Then I'll read the Passion Translation. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. In Passion Translation, it says, now, if anyone is enfolded into Christ, I love that. I think of egg whites. When you're cooking and you fold them in and they become something else. Okay. Now, if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new person. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Behold, everything is fresh and new. Now, I'll be honest with you, that version takes away all the secrets of the other version. We're going to talk about the secrets of the other version here. This is one word in there that you have to understand. So this word new creature. So it's in the Greek, it is the word kainos. There are two words for new in the Greek. The word kainos means, and I don't like this definition of it, qualitatively new, because then you have to think, what does the word qualitatively mean? New in the sense of brand new, okay? There is another word in the Greek for new. It's called neos, and it means to renew or renovate. Paul didn't use that word. So God is not flipping your house. You are not being renovated. He's not going to repipe you. He's going to make you brand new. So, then look at this word creature or creation in some versions. It is the word ketesis, is a founding creation, a founding is what it's called, a founding. Creation in a passive sense, what is created, the sum total of what is created, and it refers to mankind as God's creation. So, what is created, the sum total of what is created. And what's that saying? The sum total is greater than the parts. So the second creation is greater than the first. Even though the first creation is so remarkable that we have to really think about it to grasp it. So Paul dwells on this. Paul's like, and Paul is as much of a scholar as Nicodemus was. Paul is like Nicodemus' cousin. They were both extremely studious Jews. It could have just as well have been Paul in John being lectured to by Jesus. It's just that God didn't choose to use him there. But the result probably could have been the same. But here, Paul is being very distinct. He's being very abrupt. He's chosen his words extremely carefully. So, not only does this newness include our body, our self, our manhood, our womanhood, it includes our old identities. They're not renovated. They're new. Our life of sin, the power of Satan, the religious works of trying to please God, our old relationship with the world, and our old mindsets, they're gone. We are not reformed or simply refurbished. We are made completely new by our union with Christ and in the indwelling of his Holy Spirit. So, now, I think about this, and I think when Jesus is talking about this, he pretty much meant it'll be like Shazam. It's done. Now, in faith, I believe that is true. But we don't receive it all at once. I don't. That's why I struggled with this message. So, God whispered something to me one day here in worship a couple weeks ago. He said, When you are a new creation, your failures will become your successes. So, you want to test yourself in this? Don't talk about it. Just think about it. Where am I been a failure in my life in the eyes of God, and am I now a success in that area? You want to see signs of new creation life in your life, and you want to get encouraged, look for those things, and then build on them. In the mainline denominational church, this concept of new creation is the concept of sanctification. And it's presented in a way that it sounded to be almost unachievable, and it's something you get to when you cross through the gates in heaven. Maybe that's true, maybe it's not. But Jesus didn't say that. Jesus didn't renovate you. He didn't say, we'll work on the second story and when you're 60. He said, Shazam. You're a new creation. He did this. And it was done. Now, I will say this. So, Judas was already gone when he did this. So those 11, would you say they got it? I would. They walked it out. They did it. So they influenced hundreds or thousands of people. They walked it out. Many of them did it. And so it's continued on through the ages. So where are you in this? Where am I in this? Look for the signs of what you see as new creation and build on it. Don't be discouraged. Encourage yourself. Because some of those areas, no one knows about but you, because you won't talk about them to anybody else. And those are the strongest signs of this work. Your wife seeing that you're a better husband is not really what this is talking about. Your husband seeing that the wife is walking with God, that's not what this is about. This is about what God shows you about yourself and about what you see in your inner person. Now, there's a warning in there in that 2 Corinthians 5:7, especially in the Passion Translation. All that is related to the old order has vanished. So I think that means when the guys are sitting around at the men's meeting, we shouldn't talk about how we used to drink, smoke pot, and carouse with women anymore. Because that was our old self. We shouldn't, and whatever you women do like that. I know you do something like that. So whatever your war stories are, those are old battle wounds. They don't really mean anything anymore. Now, your testimony is still valid. Where you came from and where you got to, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about when we revel in the way we used to be. Yeah, I remember that. And then you one-up each other and somebody else has, you know, you got to tell your story because it's better than mine. And then Charlie's got to tell his because it's better than everybody's. That doesn't line up with this scripture. I'm in trouble now. Now, if anyone is in fault, so how do we get there? Let's take this. This is in my notes now, so this will probably be the best part of the sermon. So now, if anyone is enfolded into Christ, how do we get there? Well, if you want to take that literally, you got to break some things first, because you got to get the egg out of the shell, if we're going to do that metaphor of this. And then you actually have to separate some things. And you got to pour yourself into a new vessel. And then you got to let yourself be wrapped around God. And only the part you poured in. He's already taken care of that other part. That's the yoke, by the way. He's just taken the white. Woo! I needed a prop. Jay, somebody asked me, did I need a prop today? And I was like, no, I don't need no props. I wouldn't have been able to do it right anyways. You ever try to make a meringue? That is like not fun. And guy's rolling and goes, he's made a meringue? It wasn't very good. So he has become an entirely new person. I think we're all chewing on that one still, to a degree. All that is related to the old order has vanished. To me, that is both a command, a warning, and something to remind myself about. And then the good news. Behold, everything is fresh and new. Cool. So what do we do with this? And does my wife have anything she wants to share? If you don't, that's okay. Okay, we're going to tag here. And then I'm going to come back and I'm going to finish this. So,
yeah, so when he asked me if I wanted to tag with him, I was like, we'll see. If the Lord gives me something, sure. And because it's all about what God wants us to know, right? So that's been my prayer, is like, give Rodney and I the words to speak, the now word, what we need to hear now to keep moving forward in this journey, you know, because it is a journey, right? And I have this book, it's 31 Decrees of Blessing. When Rodney was talking about the Shazam, I was one of those, and I don't know if any of you were. When I accepted Christ as my Savior, I thought, cool, now I'm going to have the good life. I'm going to have, you know, everything's going to be like, no problems, no nothing. Whoa. Yeah. So my eyes got, you know, that's why I say it's a journey. My eyes got opened. No, it's not. It's not just about showing up on Sunday morning. It's what you do the rest of the week with what, you know, I come here because when in my prayers, you know, I start up asking God about my family or praying for my family, my immediate family and parents and all that. And then I said, and those have become my family. I consider all of you family. And when I'm not here for a week, I go, yay, I get to go back and see my family. Or if somebody's left here and comes back, I just love to go up and hug them and say, oh, it's so good to see you again. I consider you family, you know. And just like family, we don't always talk every day. We don't, you know, but you're still, each of you have, you've impacted me in one way or another, you know, and in my heart. So I asked God what he wanted me to share. And one of the things he's been laying on my heart a lot the last few weeks in worship and at home is we need to stop staying stuck on the other side of the cross. And that's not really how he told me, you know, over these past weeks. But then when he got that message, it's like, oh, okay, a light bulb went on, you know. Billy, when you were given that word, I'm a visual. I close my eyes during worship, and I see people glowing when they give a word, and they'll see a face. All of a sudden, I didn't see your face. It was just you were total light glowing, and I'm going, wow. And that's what we're all called to be, is speaking God's word, encouraging each other. And you were just all light, and I'm like, wow, just the impact of what she was speaking from heaven, from God, words from God that we all needed to hear. And I hope everybody took out of that what they need to. You know, I'm one of those that sometimes, Rodney does like to study. I'm not a studier. I couldn't wait to get out of school. But he's a studier. And, you know, the kids will say, Dad, how did you know that? You know, he's like, he reads a lot. He studies, you know. And I say, Lord, and I can drift. My mind can drift if it gets too deep. And I'll say, Lord, bring me back. Help me to get out of this what I need to get out of this for me. We had a pipe burst, and it's our responsibility, not the water company's, yesterday. And so we're like, oh, my gosh, what are we going to do tomorrow morning? So I chose to go over to my parents who live close to us, and I spent the night. And I thought, I can get up early, take my shower, then Rodney can head over in the morning after I'm done, you know, and we can all And so it was basically two of us. The kids had gotten their showers or whatever. But after my mom and dad went to bed, I was just flipping the channels. And I don't know if anybody likes that show, Friends, but I get a big kick out of that. It's just my entertainment. But after that, I was flipping the channels. And it was kind of late last night. And this pastor was on from Orlando. And he was talking about a lot of us go around trying to get approval from people. And we chase approval from people or love or whatever that inner need is. And that inner need is God wants to fill that need, you know? So his message was about instead of spending time searching for that, and like basically the song that plays over in my mind because of, you know, somebody in our family is looking for love in all the wrong places, that song. And it just... He said, instead of chasing those things, chase after yourself and who God created you to be. Chase after yourself. You know, get to know you. Enjoy spending time with you. You know, I'm good. I love being around people, but I've gone places and my mom said, you went by yourself? I said, well, no, not really. But I go, I've learned to love myself, my imperfect, perfect self in God's eyes. You know, where I'm at right now, you know, and I'm good with that. So with that being said, I think he was having me say all that. I didn't write anything down, but I thought I was just going to come up and do what he asked me to do this morning. But with all that being said, he wants us to start speaking over ourselves, decreeing things, okay? I'm not saying that none of us do that, but... So often we tend to pick up the baggage from the past and stay in our past. And I've been helping family members lately, and I'm speaking to myself first. Is like, if you want to walk into your future, you got to let that past go. Just let it go and keep walking forward and walk into your future. But you got to lay that stuff down, you know. So part of that is don't pick that baggage up. If it helps somebody, to let them know, you know what, this is my story, it's similar to yours, and it helps set them free because now they see you've overcome that, that's wonderful. But to just like, you know, just keep bringing it up, just to bring it up and, you know, thinking it's not getting us anywhere, you know. So speaking life, speaking the promises of God, you know, decreeing who he says we are. So there's some decrees here. I'm not going to read the whole devotional, but it's 31 decrees of blessing for women, but it can apply to either men or women. But it's blessed with fresh revelation. She gives, it's out of Proverbs 31:14, and it speaks to women. I mean, it's referencing women, but that it can be for all of us. She gives out revelation, truth to feed others. She is like a trading ship bringing divine supplies from the merchant. God longs to bring fresh revelation to you each day, even as he opened the heavens and blessed Israel with fresh manna every day in the wilderness. There is no end to the revelation he can give. Revelation he can give you of himself and his kingdom. The key is to position yourself in expectation for the blessing of revelation to fill your heart. Mary made room for him. She did not let the affairs of the day. This goes back to the Mary and Martha story where Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and Martha was busy. She thought she was doing what she was supposed to do, you know, by getting everything ready and prepared and probably wanted everything perfect. You know, when we have people over, we want everything perfect or whatever. So, and then just, let's see. Mary made room for him. She did not let the affairs of the day distract her from what was most important. And Jesus rewarded her. Let his words fill you. He will speak life-giving words to you every time you seek him and every time you read his word. He has blessed you with the ability to receive fresh revelation from him. Okay, so there's some decrees, and with this, when I said earlier, this may not be for everybody. It may not specifically speak about the what the title of the message was today, but it's just getting you in your mind to start speaking, decreeing things over your life and speak it into existence. Okay, so Jesus is my portion. I decree that, and this is for everyone here, Jesus is my portion, and I promise to treasure his words within me. I love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, and might. I decree I do not let distractions keep me from the most important place at the feet of Jesus. I decree the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Christ fills me daily. I decree the secret things of God are granted to me, my children, and my children's children when I receive revelation from him. That was a big one that spoke to me, because how many of us, you know, have been praying for our families and our kids, and, you know, it's like the secret things of God are granted to me, my children, and my children's children when I receive revelation from him. So you take the time to come and listen to God's word here. That's for your children. You know, my kids are home, they're home sleeping, and I'm coming to church. Lord, pursue them in their sleep with your everlasting love. Let them hear what's going on here. Even though they're not here physically, let them hear, you know. And or we go home and give them a hug. You know what? That's being imparted into them, because, you know, we took the time to come here. And it's not just about just taking the time to come here. It's about every day doing that, you know. Finding something, a teaching, or being in the Word, or praise music. I'm telling you, you don't know how many times the song about praise him in the storm. Basically, praise him in the storm. You got stuff going on. We all do. Lately, we've had a lot of stuff going on. I start praising him, putting praise music on, and just it just takes my mind off the problem, and it brings me back to God and why I'm here, what I'm doing. And another thing, I was sitting there during worship, he said, it's not our job to change people. It was never intended to be our job, our responsibility. And when Rodney said about one of the songs that the worship team was playing, it was just like being washed away. Washed away is like wash away everything that I've got my hands on that I have no business having my hands on, you know. And it started with me. It started with my kids. And although I've said, Lord, I surrender them back to you, they were yours first. They're just on loan to us, you know, to do the best we know to do. But then anything that I've got my hands on that I think I can do anything about, I surrender it to you, because he is the one that can change people, you know, change hearts and everything. And I've seen it happen. I decree that fresh manna from heaven is available to me daily. I decree that I listen and the Lord speaks to me. I decree as I seek fresh revelation, I find it. I decree God's power establishes me according to the revelation of the mystery of Christ. I decree that the Lord grants me each day my daily bread, which is revelation. So, you know, when Rodney was talking about how many people have been sitting in worship, and then you're in heaven, you're in the throne room, you know, and then people that have, ask God to show you. Ask God to show you what that means, what that looks like for you, because it looks different for everybody. So that's what I have.
All right, so to close, we got a declaration. Everybody stand up. So this is from a friend of mine on Facebook, who actually I really know, too, I will say that. And I read this the other day while I'm preparing for this, and, you know, it's like, oh, wow, I need to use that. Wonder where that's from. I private messaged her. I said, I'm preaching on New Creation on Sunday. I want to use what you just posted. Did you write that? Did you get it someplace? What is it? And she said, that was mine and the word God put in me. Spread it around. So this is one of those repeat after me things, okay? So you're kind of nervous, right? Because you don't know what the heck I'm going to say. I am a new creation. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am one spirit with the Lord himself. I am complete in him. I have spent countless hours declaring the truth about who I am. If you haven't, maybe we should. New covenant realities define me. And it is his delight and pleasure that I honor the Christ in me. Yeah, I know. That was kind of long. The hope of glory. I am a new creation. And the very air I breathe is him. Because he is in all and through all. His kingdom is within me and at hand, not far away. As long as I daily remain in awareness of my utter union with the eternal spirit of the living God, he will present me before faultless before the throne. And then she ended it this way, Selah. Which for those of you that don't know means turn about and ponder that. Take a breath and ponder that. That's what Selah means. Really, nobody knows what Selah means, okay? It's not even a word they make it divine. So, you are a new creation. Grasp it. Leave the old self behind. Gosh, that's hard. There's parts of the old self I still like. Get rid of it. Yeah. There's parts of the old self I don't like anymore, too. I guess that's a good thing. Mind this out for yourself. Ask God to show you those areas in your life where you are walking in a new creation, and those that maybe you already know the areas you're not. If you don't, ask him. Ask him to be Shazam for you. That might be hard to swallow. It might not. There's people in here who have those testimonies. God healed them of everything and broke it all off at once. And then some people God doesn't work that way with. And you know what? That's what's so great about him. He knows how to work with you. He knows what will work for you and what will not. So it is 11:58. I did my job. And the plumber will be at my house at 1 to restore the flow of water. So let the river come back. Yes, thank you. So go forth, be a new creation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You can also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read the Bible, take notes, connect with us on social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into Identity Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Have a blessed day.